This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
As we're talking about being strong on purpose, I want to go over something that I said last week, and I think is really a powerful thought. And Philip and I were talking about this. I had not gone down this direction before. I said one of the things from last week, I remember I talked about the fact that coming to church is not the end goal for your Christian life. That coming to church is to equip you to do God's work. It's to equip you to be a productive part of God's kingdom. So when you hear a message, I'm going to talk tonight about being strong. When you hear a message about being strong, don't just think, oh, this is good, Alan, because I need some strength in my life. I mean, I'm dealing with some family members. I'm dealing with business stuff. I'm dealing with stuff. I need some strength in my life. And so if you need strength in your life, this is going to help you. This will be good. But don't stop there. You don't want to get strong just so your life is okay and your family's okay and you're cool. You want to get strong so you can actually be a blessing to somebody else. There's a lot of people out there that need somebody to come along in their life who've got some strength or some encouragement or something that they can put into them. And so when we stop thinking, and it's so easy, guys, we're trained to do it. We grow up doing it. Every commercial that you see today just talks about, you deserve this because you are awesome. And we're like, I'm awesome. I deserve it. And that's, we won't even talk about what we really deserve, but what we will talk about is the fact that you don't want to stop there. That's pretty small living. We want to live bigger than that. And living bigger than that is, Lord, make me strong so I can help my family, so I can be a better parent, so I can be a better spouse, so I can be a better family member, but also so I can help other people. Does that make sense? So we're not just trying to get strong. So I just want to get my life. I can just get my life together. Listen, as you begin to get your life together, there's a lot of other people that could use you and could use your help and could use your story. You know how Mike's story just blessed us? Mike grew up in a Jewish family that were atheist in New York City. It don't get any better than that. And yet God touched his heart. Probably a guy we would not have thought would have come to church. And there's a lot of them out there. And they need you. Because you can reach them a lot of times a lot better than I can. As soon as they hear I'm a preacher, man, the pucker factor hits in. You're a preacher, everyone goes, everyone tightens up. But see, you can sneak up on them. You can be stealthy. All right, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being strong on purpose. So let's talk about some keys to strength. Here's the first one, acknowledging God in a bigger, better way. Acknowledging God in a bigger, better way, that He is the God of hope. Now, when I say hope, Let me explain that word, because oftentimes when we use the word hope, we really use it to mean a wish. You ask someone, say, hey, is this thing going to happen? You say, I sure hope so. And we often use that to mean, I wish it would be that way. I have a desire. Actually, the biblical word for hope means this. It means the desire of good with the expectation of obtaining it. The desire for good. You have a desire for good, but you also have an expectation. That's the key word, an expectation of obtaining it. If you've got an expectation, you're looking for it. The Bible said God is the God of hope. It never calls Him the God of sorrow or despair. It calls Him a God of hope. That the more we begin to know Him, the more we have a relationship with Him, what it begins to do in our lives is, it begins to give us, there is an expectation of good in our life. That we're expecting something good. One of the greatest things in your Christian life is that you can become a hope agent to a lot of people that do not have hope. People go up and down, and the economy changes, things change, political climate changes, everyone changes, and people are up and down and upset, and you don't have to be that way. You can be one individual in the middle of that who has an expectation that something good's going to happen. And if you have that expectation of something good going to happen, that's actually a strengthening agent in your life. If you're expecting good, you're stronger. You're energized. How many of you know how you feel the week before you go on vacation? You're expecting something good. You know in a week, you're thinking, I'm going to be out of here in a week. I'm heading for the beach. I'm heading for the mountains. I'm going to be out here the week. How many of you know you can get twice as much done the week before vacation than you do any other time of the year? You're more decisive. You're more focused. You're more energized. You get up and stuff happens, but you're like, I don't care because I'm going on vacation. Am I the only one? So what happens is when you're going on vacation, you got an expectation of good. You're looking forward to something good. And when you're looking forward to something good, you got some hope in you. It can actually push you past some of the negatives in your life. Oh, this popped up. You're like, well, I'm going to have to deal with it because I'm going on vacation. He is the God of hope. We spend time with Him. And you won't spend time, any time the Lord and walk away going, man, I feel depressed. You spend quality time with the Lord and you're going to walk away. Something, you may not even be able to explain it, but something on the inside goes, there's something good coming. How many of you ever had, a friend of mine says, your heart knows things your head doesn't even know. Sometimes on the inside, you're like, I'm excited. You're like, why? You're like, I don't know. I'm just excited. I say, well, that's stupid. Listen, I'd rather be stupid and happy. And have some expectation. He's the God of hope. And so, I love this verse. It calls him, and may the God of hope fill you. Now, here's my next question. Full of what? We can be full of a lot of stuff. I got one, begins with S. It's sports. What were you thinking? Gotcha. All right. He'd be full of sports. How many of you ever talked to someone and they can't tell you a single scripture, but they can tell you batting averages of the entire American League? Well, they're full of sports. Or people who know they're full of fashion. You can be full of hobbies. You can be full of a lot of stuff. Be full of material things. You can just be, what are you full of? Well, you say, well, I don't know, Alan. What am I full of? I don't know. What comes out of your mouth? Because really what goes in your, what comes, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will leak. I mean, speak. And so it comes out. So you can be full of that. You can be full of, and you say, well, is anything wrong with that? Not necessarily. Sports, fashion, things, culture, you can be full of that. He said, but you can also be full of fear and sorrow and negatives. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we be full of joy and peace. And those are two good things. Full of joy and full of peace. So he said, may the God of hope fill you. I don't know. I love the fact that God doesn't just give us a little dab. He fills us. He wants us full of joy, full of peace. How many of you think, I can use an extra dose of joy and peace? I can just, because there's a difference. There's a difference in our life. And honestly, some of the best advertising for being a Christian is being someone full of joy and peace. It's great advertising. People say, well, I don't know enough scriptures to witness. Don't worry about knowing enough scriptures to witness. If your life is a witness, if how you live is a witness, it'll catch people's attention. And it'll work. Full of joy and peace. Now listen, God's plan. I want to go with it. God's plan is that we are full. This is God's best for you, that you're full of joy and peace, as opposed to anxiety. Look at this verse here in Proverbs 12th chapter, verse 25. It says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word or a good word cheers it up. Anxiety. That word anxiety, I looked it up. It has an interesting approach to it. Anxiety means care. It means apprehension because of approaching trouble. How many of you know, and we got to remember to pray tonight for the folks down in Florida. But how many of you know that probably for the last couple of days, there's been some apprehension of approaching trouble when you know you got a Category 4 coming in at you? And I was watching today, and well, I tell you what, one thing about hurricanes is when they're hitting somebody else, they're not nearly as bad. When they're coming your way, they're rough. And I was thinking about that, but that's apprehension. That's anxiety. It'll weigh you down. He said, but a good word will make it glad. There's an interesting story. We're going to try to get to it tonight. But the nation of Judah was surrounded by the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria was about to attack them. And he had them under siege. And they're under siege. And he actually sent people out to them to call out. The king of Assyria sent messengers to call out to the people in the city. And this is what they said. This is in 2 Chronicles. It's not in our notes, but 2 Chronicles 32:18. Then they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them and trouble them that they might take the city. They called out words, and they were calling out words like, no God has been able to stop us. What makes you think your God's going to be able to stop us? We've defeated every nation we've ever faced. Don't listen to Hezekiah. He's telling you that your God's going to help. And they're calling out to them. And they're calling out in the Hebrew language so the people can hear it. Why? Because if they're afraid, it's going to be easier to take the city. How many of you realize that when there's fear in your life, it doesn't strengthen you, it weakens you? So he said, if we can make them afraid, that was their strategy. If we can make them afraid, that's our way to take the city. Years ago, they said Newt Rockne, who was the coach of Notre Dame, I believe, he was getting ready to face USC in a football game. We're talking about years ago, back when they had those leather helmets and no mouthpieces and stuff. You could tell a football player by his smile because he had no teeth. But anyway, so Newt Rockne was getting ready to face USC. They were undefeated. And what Newt Rockne did was, this was before the days of scholarship limitations, he went out and found 100 of the biggest men he could find in South Bend and put them in a uniform. And before the game, the guys from USC are warming up. And I mean, he's got 30-year-old guys and 25-year-old guys. They look like college. They're huge. And he trots out 100 of them during the warm-ups. They never played a bit. But the USC guys saw them, scared them to death. And Notre Dame beat that team. He said, he's playing mind games. That's exactly what he was doing. He's playing mind games. What do you think the enemy tries to do to you? Play mind games. Why? Because anxiety, apprehension, dread weighs you down. He said, but a good word to make it glad. So we need to hear a good word. Here's a second thing. God doesn't want us, he wants us full of joy and peace. He does not want us full of sorrow. Not anxiety and not sorrow. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now, God who made us, God who formed us, knows exactly what works in our life. And this is one of the things where we've just gotten so used to it. It's like, well, you know, just a down day, and I'm having a down time, and it's a down. What we don't realize is that's not just a down time, it's weakening you. That sorrow in your heart, you constantly have sorrow in your heart, it's going to begin to wear you down. And those of us who, and many of you, have gone through difficult times, and you can look back and go, it was a hard time. And we went through it down, and you just feel down. That's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why you need somebody who can come around and lift you up when you're down. You need friends. Do not get isolated. But if you get sorrow in your heart, sorrow can absolutely begin to wear you out. And so we're thinking, well, I don't want to live that way. And God doesn't want you to live that way. In fact, he says a good word actually can cheer your heart up. This is why coming to church and hearing a good word will help you. This is why spending time in the Bible will help you. You say, well, I don't really feel like it's helping me. Listen, if you're putting good words on the inside of you, it is a whole lot better than putting sorrow on the inside of you. Because what we're going to find out is it's that joy and that peace that are strong. And anxiety and sorrow are weakening agents. We don't want to live our lives weakening ages. The book of Nehemiah, the nation of Israel had gotten away from God, and they turned away from God. So Nehemiah and Ezra the scribe brought back scriptures. And actually, when Ezra opened the book of the law, the Bible said the people stood up out of reverence. And they stood there, began to listen. As they began to listen, they began to realize how far away from God they'd become. And as they did that, Nehemiah 8 says they began to weep. And Nehemiah called out to him and said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And even though these people were turning their hearts back, I know, and I've sat in church before, maybe you have too, sat in church, and it seems like the Holy Spirit just took your picture and showed it to you. And you've walked out going, "Oh." Ever walked out just going, "Oh man, that got me. That got." But you ever notice that when God speaks to your heart, it may cause conviction, but it does not cause sorrow like the world. There's always an element of hope to it that says, "Hey, you might be sorrowful and you might have been corrected, but when God corrects you, He'll always show you, and there's a path out and there's a way out, and you don't have to be this way." So if you're ever listening to messages, you're like, "Well, this guy was preaching and I'm so condemned, so condemned, so condemned." That's not the gospel. The gospel will always leave you with the God of hope, will always leave you with an expectation of good that you can come out of this. And so here's the deal, guys. What we have to do is pay attention to the sorrow in our lives. We can't just allow sorrow just to sit in us over and over and over again. You allow sorrow to sit and anxiety to sit in, it not just makes you hard to be around, it wears you down. It saps the strength right out of you. How many of you have ever just, you woke up one day and you're like, "I am going to clean the garage. And then I'm gonna move some of that dirt in the backyard that's been sitting there for too long." How many of you know you're in a different mode of thinking when you're in clean the garage or "I'm going to clean out that closet, that one special closet that no one ventures into because if you open it, stuff falls out of it. I'm going to clean that up." You got a different mode, a different way of thinking. And so if there's sorrow, what are we full of? God's a God of hope. He wants us full of joy and peace. How do we get there? Believing. Full of joy and peace in believing. Believing and speaking the right things. What we believe becomes visible. What you believe is visible. If you're like, "How are you doing today?" "I'm just rejoicing in the Lord." No, why don't you be honest? No, you're not. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, the Bible said a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. It actually should notify our face. So, Alan, you don't realize I don't have anything to be merry about. Oh, no. No. You need to abandon that thought. If you've got God, if you're connected with Him, you've got the God of hope who is your Heavenly Father. And listen, and He wants you full of joy and peace. Well, if He wants me full of joy and peace, why didn't He just make me full of joy and peace? Because He's not going to. If He was going to make us do something, He would make everybody get saved and we would all go into the millennium tomorrow. If He was going to make you. How many of you know you have something to say about it? You had a choice. How many of you were raised in church, but you stiff-armed God for a long time? Anybody in here besides me? You stiff-armed God. You're like, "Mm-mm, no." You knew the truth. True. And then one day, something happened, and you decided to make Jesus Christ your Lord. And was that the day that God just made you get saved? No, that's the day you responded to Him. And how many of you know you could have responded a lot earlier? In other words, you weren't waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Is that right? So, As we're talking about this, you say, "I need some joy and peace in my life." Okay. Joy and peace in believing. Believing God does not make you sad. Look at Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. If you're trusting in the Lord, the Bible says you're happy. You heed the word, you find good. You hear what this say? Good. You're thinking, well, you know, I got stuff going on in my life. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's got stuff going on in their life. Everybody, even Joy, has stuff going on in her life. You say, well, we're not waiting. Guys, we're not waiting for everything in our life to get perfect. We're not waiting for all of our problems to be solved. We're not waiting for everything to look perfect. We're not waiting for all the kids to get right, and then the spouse to get right, and then the in-laws to get right, because they don't all get right at the same time. You ever played whack-a-mole? That's life. Whack-a-mole. Spouse is wrong. Boom, got him straightened out. Pop, up top of the kids. Boom, get that done. Then the business. Boom. And you're thinking, is it ever going to stop? No. It stops when you go to heaven. So when does it get perfect, Alan? It doesn't. So let's learn how to deal with the non-perfect now. Full of joy and peace in believing. We begin to believe the right things. It's going to help us make it through the tough times. It's going to help us make through when all the stuff isn't perfect. Because a lot of times, stuff isn't perfect. In fact, most of the time, stuff isn't perfect. Who do you know that has a perfect life and Facebook doesn't count? Because Facebook is brand management. Nobody. And so we're all dealing with stuff. And we're dealing with things, but believing God does not make us sad. And this is directly connected to His Word. When you're dealing with some things, you have to ask yourself, what am I believing about this? What do I believe? If I'm just so down, so despondent, that tells me I'm believing the wrong things. I'm going to say that again. If I'm down and despondent, it tells me I'm believing the wrong things. But if I believe it, it's going to turn out okay. If I believe God's going to help me. Joy and I were talking about a situation one time. And she was really going through it with a family member. And I said, honey, I said, somehow we're going to have to get over into a place of faith where we're trusting. She said, Alan, she said, I don't know what to believe in this situation. And it just came right up out of my heart. I said, believe that God will help you. And she said that it went off in her. It lifted her. And she began to think, oh, I can believe that. See, a lot of times we try to figure it out. I don't know what to believe. How about believing this? God can help me. God can give me wisdom. If I'm believing that, if I believe that somehow God's going to help me through this situation, it doesn't cause me to be depressed. It actually causes me to have some joy. Because God's going to help me out. Right? If you had a rich relative, I'm talking about he got crazy money. And you're going through a difficult time. And your rich relative calls you up and says, look, that I know you're dealing with that $30,000 note situation. I'm going to take care of that. When you hang up the phone, do you go, well, okay. Now, you know this guy's good for it easy. And you know that he always keeps his word. You hang up the phone, what do? You're feeling good. Because Mr. Big Pockets is going to help you out in this situation. I'm just looking for my lady over here trying to go, no, I don't have a rich relative that you can ask for. Remember that? But the idea is, if we're believing the right things, is it not going to impact us? And so the question to ask is, if I'm down, if I'm afraid, what am I believing? And so it causes me then to examine what I believe. When Joy and I went through a situation with our daughter years ago, story, it's online, we've told it. But my daughter she was in an abusive situation. We didn't realize that her boyfriend was physically abusive, and verbally abusive, and bad. And when that relationship dissolved, it cratered my daughter. But not only did it crater my daughter, it about cratered my wife. And she was just in agony over Christina. We used to lie in bed at night and listen to Christina, whose bedroom was right above ours. And we used to listen to her weeping at night. Now, as a parent, if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have loved ones, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That hurts. And it's tearing Joy up. And you're thinking, she was having a hard time with joy and peace. One of the challenges of being a pastor is that we have to live through our problems publicly. And so she's thinking, I'm a pastor's wife. But she was thinking, this is really getting to me. And we were getting ready to go to bed one day, and I found a scripture, and it was in the book of Psalms. And I said, honey, I got this scripture for you. I said, he lifts up those who are downtrodden. And when I said that to her, and I'm sorry, I'm not quoting it correctly, but basically it talked about that God can take someone who is down and lift them. And when I said that to her, she said, all of a sudden, it's like shining light in a dark place. And the light came on. Have you ever just been reading your Bible, maybe been in a church service, and someone says something and the light comes on? And you're like, yes, that's my answer. And she said, and from that point on, she had something to hang on to. Someone, you got something to hang on to that's good, then you can be in a bad situation, but you believe it's not going to stay in this bad situation. Yes. I'm coming out. Yes. And if I know I'm coming out, it puts some joy in me. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. You know, and so I always encourage Jordan. I talk to people and we'll go, we're dealing with this situation. I'll often ask them, do you have a scripture that you're believing or standing on, something? Remember, a good word will make your heart glad. Do you have any kind of promise that you're standing on, believe? And people are like, why do you want to do that? Because I know what helps. Amen. And when you're in a pit, you need something outside the pit to pull you out. Yes. You don't need to keep looking at the pit going, I'm in the pit. That's not helping you. You need something outside. Somebody needs to throw you a rope. You need to come outside. If somebody throws you a rope, say, well, I wish someone throw you a rope. I'm throwing you one right now. Here's a rope. Come out. Because there's a God of hope who wants you full of joy and peace. He does not want you depressed. He does not want you down. He wants you strong. Strong enough to deal with your problems. Strong enough to deal with your family's problems. Strong enough to help your neighbors. Hoorah! That's strong. Now here's something. I got time. I'm going to jump into this. Yeah. We're talking about believing the right things. Here's the last one. Speaking the right things. Guys, listen to me. You say, Alan, I know you talk about words a lot. I know. We need to. Because when you're in these times, what you speak out of your mouth is good. If it's got some life to it. Here's something. I'm going to show you a scripture. I've never taught on this before, but look at this scripture. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. Now, I don't know about you, but let me just talk about me. One of the challenges when I deal with difficult things, one of the challenges, and I'm probably not the only one, is the tendency to go quiet. It's the tendency not to say anything good. People can come and go, hey, what about this? And you go, yeah. Hey, but look at about this. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges, guys, listen, is when things aren't going good, it's just to absolutely go inward. And you just sit there and you're stewing. Does that make sense? You're stewing. And you're just rolling that negative situation around in you. I don't know about you, I've done this. This does not help you. This hurts you. Say, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm down. And I'm just down. That's just the way it is. It might be the way it is, but it doesn't have to be the way it will be. And the bottom line is, you can come out of that, but here's something that will help you. And Joy and I have done this with each other for years. We might notice the other one starting to droop a little bit. The other one will say, here's a scripture, here's something. You need to, listen, when you go down, you're starting to get quiet and go inward, that might be the time to go, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to bless you. The Bible said that the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when heaviness starts to jump on you, you need to open your mouth and say something. I'm not living this way. I'm coming out of this. I'm not yielding to this. Because the quieter you get, the more you yield to it. If you'll open your mouth and say, what has God said to you? What has He spoken to you? What promises has He given you? That's what needs to come out of your mouth. Now, maybe there's nobody else around you. I always encourage people, don't wait for anybody else around you. Do it by yourself. Yes. Just get alone by yourself. When I'm by myself, I can sing. Oh, child, I can sing. I can sing like Justin in my own mind. A legend in my own mind and in my own closet, I can sing. But it's better than yielding to silence. Listen, when you're down, don't get quiet. Don't get quieter and quieter and quieter. You've seen people, they walk in a room and they're just quiet and you say, what's wrong? And they go, nothing. And you know they're lying at their teeth because something is wrong. And yet you've seen someone walk in a room and they're going, you go, hey, they go, hey, how are you doing? And it's just, there's life that comes out of them. When you get in a sorrowful place, that is not the time to go quiet. That's the time to say, Lord, help me. Lord, thank you that you can lift me out of this. Lord, I want to thank you. Say, well, Alan, I don't know what to do. I don't know the scriptures like you know the scriptures. You don't have to know a bunch of scriptures. All you need to know is one. The God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing that you can abound in hope, and the power of the Holy Spirit will kick in right there. If you'll get started, does that make sense? Does it help? Listen, when you go quiet, now I realize I've told people, you need to be quiet sometimes. There is a time to be quiet. When you're about to tell somebody, I think that's the time to be quiet right there. But when the enemy is prodding you and pushing you and pushing you and pushing you, you need to stand up and say something and stand up and say, I am not going down that road. I don't care. I am not going down. I'm not going to have to resort to drugs to get out of this situation. I am not going to have to resort to getting drunk to get out of this situation. I am not going to have to yield to pornography to get out of this situation. I'm coming through this. God will help me. He can get me through. Does that make sense? Because you need it and somebody else needs it. There are people you can reach. And you need to reach them with your testimony of the fact that God, the God of hope, wants you full of joy and peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. It is life to us. It's comfort when we're going through difficult times. Father, I pray for everyone in here tonight. People, Father, who have just absolutely sunk into a pit of sorrow and a pit of fear and anxiety. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of hope. This message is for them to shine the light in their situation, Lord, that they don't have to stay there, that your plan is your plan for them because they're your children. Your plan is that they come out. Your plan is that they be full of joy and peace, and it's possible with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping those tonight. Thank you for a spark of light that comes in. One scripture, one ray of light can bust through the darkness. And we thank you for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening, you say, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that and He knows that. Or you're saying, Alan, I had a relationship with God. I've gotten so far away from Him. I guess I'm in what is called a backslidden state. And I don't want to stay there anymore. I want to come out. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. Sitting right in your chair, this prayer is for you, but we're going to pray it together as a church family. But if that's you that I'm talking to and you say, I want to be confident in my relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Would you just acknowledge that with an uplifted hand? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, gotcha. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your hand. Appreciate your courage. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're really in your heart. You're like, I really wanted to do this. Well, you can pray this. We're going to pray it with you out loud. This is why the Bible said, with a heart man believes, with a mouth confession is made to salvation. This is why we pray it out loud. So let's pray this out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. And boy, it really hits my heart here. So no one looking around, please. But there are some people that tonight you have really been in it. And you've been in it, and you're in the pit. We were laughing about the pit, but you're there. And what I said at the very last, I want you to hear me because I'm just going to say it again. You need to open your mouth and say something different from what you've been saying. You've got to begin to say, God is good. God will help me. God is my God of hope. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, would you slip your hand up? Oh, goodness. All over the room. I'm going to pray. I know it's a little late. I'm going to pray for you guys, and we're going to go. You can put your hands down. Father, thank You that You've brought hope tonight to a bunch of people. To a bunch that just feel like they're in the pit, but Lord, You never intend for them to be there. That's not Your place for them. You desire that they be filled. And Father, I just pray for them as their pastor, I pray. And I ask that You would strengthen them with might by Your Spirit in their inner man. Father, they can come through this. And not only that, Father, that You would strengthen them so they can just lift up their voice and begin to say with their mouth, God, You're good, and I'm coming through. It's possible. You brought this message just for them. And we give You all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.